Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. My goodness sakes, it's so good to be with you. It is good that we should be together. Amen. This is the time that we have to discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We always welcome your questions. We always welcome your comments. We are eager to hear from you. It is the last Tuesday of the month. That means it's sort of like our Apologetics Tuesday. John Martinoni in studio here with me. Those of you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page can see him. He's going to be taking your questions today along with myself. So I'm eager to have you call in. Let me give you the toll-free number. That toll-free number for you if you're here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can use that number toll-free here in North America. We encourage you to use it frequently, often, and all of the time here on Women of Grace Live. If you are outside of North America, we have a number for you, too. That number begins with the area code, actually the country code, which is 1, and then 205-271-2985, country code 1. 205-271-2985. Very eager to hear from you if you're outside of North America. If you are, you know what we'll do? We'll float you right to the top so we can get you right away because we know you're making an effort and a sacrifice to be with us today. But again, that toll-free number for the rest of you here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. Always encouraging you to send to us, you know, your questions or comments via email, and we will read them on the air. We will take those questions and answer them on the air. The way to do that is to send them to me. And how do you do that? Well, womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the address. That's plural on the women, all one word, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. So get your questions into us that way. You can also leave them for us on our listener comment line. That is 205-295. And let's see if I can read that. 5773. Yep, I don't have that one committed to memory as well as the other ones, but we're getting there. So I'm encouraging you to use that listener comment line to leave a question for us on that line, and we'll take it during our program at some other point in time. If you let us know that you're calling for Women of Grace, they'll sort your question that way, and it makes it easier for everybody the whole way around. Well, I'm very eager to get to John, but before I do, I'm very, very happy to be able to tell you that the Benedicta Leadership Institute for Women, or the Benedicta Institute for Women, that took place at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center there in North Palm Beach, Florida, last week was nothing short of amazing. It was a marvelous opportunity to join together with a group of women who are eager to learn more about who they are as women, and that journey from Eve to Mary. And that is what Dr. Donald Wallenfang presented on all week. He gave us intensive information. It was an immersive and it was intensive. But oh my goodness, we are so spiritually enriched. Our minds are so full. Our hearts are so full. It was just wonderful. Bishop William Walterscheid was with us for the whole week. We had beautiful, beautiful opportunities for prayer. We did morning prayer together every morning. We celebrated the Mass together. We prayed the rosary together. We had evening prayer. Bishop Walterscheid, right after evening prayer, delivered an address to us every night. He took us on a mini-series, if you will, of teachings about our Blessed Mother, and they were just fantastic. Everyone enjoyed it. We did a little survey. We got all high marks the whole way through. We sure did. We got maximum marks the whole way through, with the exception of just one or two little things that, you know, were really outside of our control, but have been straightened up, and it was just a marvelous, marvelous opportunity. If you live on the east coast of Florida and you have not visited Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center, I would really encourage you to do it. It's a passionist retreat house, basically. The facilities suited our means perfectly. Our needs were well met by staff. It sits right on the bay. I woke up in the morning looking at the bay with yachts and sailboats and a beautiful sunrise every morning. Actually captured a sunrise one morning when it was especially spectacular. It was just a beautiful setting for us to be able to be refreshed, invigorated, but most of all, to really enter into a deep exploration of who we are as women. We will be offering that course in the future online. We will be in October at St. Bernard's Abbey in Coleman, Alabama, for another immersive with Dr. Donald Wallenfang. We're going to be talking about the dignity of dust. He is both a phenomenologist and a theologian, PhDs in both of those areas, teaches at Sacred Heart Major Seminary there in Detroit. We're happy to have him as our academic advisor and to have Bishop William Walter Scheid as our spiritual advisor. So marvelous opportunities coming up. For that reason, I want to invite you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Just click on Benedicta Institute. It will tell you all about it. You can work towards a certification in Catholic women's leadership through the Institute. Very well credentialed with the caliber of instructors that we are putting together. And I think that it would be something that would certainly enhance your life. If you were one of the ladies there and you're listening today, you might want to just call in and share a little bit about what your takeaways were. We had a list 5 of them before we left, so I know you know 1 or 2 of them. So you're free to do that. But without further ado, let me introduce you once again to John Martinoni. Hey, John. Hi.
Hey, John Ed. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Good, good. I liked what you said, the dignity of dust.
The dignity
I
of
love
dust.
That.
I know, it's really good. Well, Dr. Wallenfang is a phenomenologist, right? So he comes at philosophy that way. And, you know, so he really took us, like, to the essentials. It was amazing. So I'm eager because this is like it's a standalone course from the one that we took. So, ladies, if you haven't been to that first one, that need not prevent you from joining us in Coleman. He will do some review of some of the major points that he shared with us. But I love that because it really speaks to the gift that the human person is, you know, this
yes.
being made in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? How is it imaged? How is it imaged in you as a man differently than it's imaged in me and a woman beyond the biological differentiation, right? So it's all very exciting.
Sounds fascinating.
It is.
And St. Bernard's is a wonderful place to be.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I've been up there and really have enjoyed it. So I'm eager for the women who join us to have the opportunity to experience things there. And I believe it's Diane that's there at the retreat center has been very kind, very, very nice, comfortable accommodations.
Wonderful.
And she's from Pittsburgh, John Martin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes, yes. We had quite a conversation about the Berg when we were together. But tell me about you. Haven't seen you for a month. We don't get a chance to see each other in between these opportunities.
Yeah, actually, it's 2 months.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
You did like a recorded show or something last
yeah,
time. Or
yeah.
from your house, I think,
yeah.
last time. So,
well, that's what it is. That's what I've been experiencing, John Martinoni withdrawal.
There you go. When I've had Johnette withdrawal. So,
well, the Double Johns are going to be right back at it, you know, on the other side of the break. You hear that music, friends. We're going to be talking about one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. What does this business of unity mean? You know, does Jesus really want, you know, all of these different factionings of his church? I would even say fracturings of what it is that he's about. And if so, why would he? And if not, why not? All of that we'll be investigating. We'll take your question on anything having to do with apologetics today. If you were one of the ladies with us, your testimony, of course, is welcome. All of that being said, do give us a call. 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you. Right here, where in North America? Coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so happy to be with you today, so eager to get to John and eager to get your questions, too. Want to mention something to you, though. However, we want to let you know that we have a social platform, SoundCloud. All your favorite EWTN programs are available right now on demand, day or night, on SoundCloud. cloud. Remember, EWTN is everywhere. So get out there to EWTN.com. Check it out. Isn't it lovely that if you can't see in real time, you can see in an on-demand feature there. So we encourage you to use that feature. Again, I am encouraging you to get out to our website, 20, that's not my website, it's womenofgrace.com. I am reading the listener comment number, 205-795-5773, to leave your comments for us. Rich, so kindly put that in our studio chat section so I could see it and have it at the ready just for you. Well, John Martinoni, we were talking about the fact we haven't seen each other in 2 months, but we did have a program at the end of last month. I think I was traveling or you were traveling. One of us was not available. So we never want to leave you in a lurch on apologetics, friends. So we did have that for you. But, you know, this whole idea, you know, when Jesus Christ is praying right before his passion, and he's praying that we may be one, right? That they may be one. As you and I, Father, are one. I don't have the exact words. But the idea being that his intention was that he was founding a church.
Yes.
Right? And he intended for that church to be stable, a stable entity. So let's start with that.
Well, and what I want to do here, and this might surprise some people, but I want to use an evangelical church as the example for as evidence for the Catholic Church being the one and only church.
Okay.
And you might be thinking, oh, how's he going to do that? Well, it's kind of ironic, I think, but right across the interstate from EWTN, which, as I understand, is the largest religious broadcast network in the world.
Right.
Right across, a stone's throw across the interstate, is the largest evangelical church in the United States of America, the Church of the Highlands, okay? And it may be the largest in the world because evangelicalism is biggest, I think, in the U.S. than it is anywhere else. But that church started, I think, in either 2000 or 2001, and it's already 70, 80, 90,000 members. And it's not just on that campus. You know, that's their home campus, their original campus, but they've spread out all across the Southeast, and I think in other states as well, not just in the Southeast. But here's the thing. Every one of those campuses, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of them, every one of them answers to one person, the head pastor of the Church of the Highlands here in Irondale, Alabama.
And isn't it a fact, John, that the services, the Sunday services, are actually broadcast
yes.
to those churches? So people gather, and not in small numbers, but in thousands.
Yes.
At these, I would call them
satellite,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Satellite locations to watch, you
the
know,
one
the
guy.
One, yeah, to watch this being, you know, beamed to them live.
Right.
But they're watching it on big screens.
And see, and the reason that's. I wanted to bring up that example is because I've heard often from Protestants when I bring up, you know, that prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, Father, that they, and when he says they, he's talking not just about the apostles, but those who will believe in him through the apostles.
Right, exactly.
In other words, Christians.
Right.
That they may be one as you, Father, and I are one. And so I always ask people, you know, I'll say to a Baptist or an evangelical or a Presbyterian, say, well, you're not one. I mean, within Protestantism, let's leave out Catholicism and Orthodoxy, but just within Protestantism, you guys are not one. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's we agree on the essentials, but it's okay to disagree on the non-essentials, which, in fact, they don't agree on the essentials, many of them. But I say, well, wait a minute. Jesus said he wants all of us Christians to be one as he and the Father are one. I said, are you telling me that Jesus and the Father, they might agree on the essentials, but they disagree on the non-essentials? You know, like infant baptism, which many Protestants consider non-essential, although some consider essential. Does the Father believe, yes, it's okay to baptize babies? And Jesus says, no, 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 don't baptize babies. You know, or the Father says, well, baptism is by immersion only. And Jesus says, no, no, it's immersion or pouring or spring. You know, no, they agree on everything related to not just the faith, but everything. but in particular in regards to faith and morals. There is no disagreement between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So why is there disagreement between Baptist and Evangelical, Evangelical and Presbyterian, Presbyterian and Lutheran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, not to mention between Protestants and Catholics and so forth? When I talk to them about this, I go back. I said, well, let's go back to the early church. Did they disagree on anything? I said, you had the church of the Ephesians, you know, the church of the Galatians, the church in Jerusalem. And they said, well, those were all independent churches. Like, really? Where does it say that in the Bible? And they can't show me where it says that because nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But that's how they justified the way things are now, by projecting that onto the early church and what they see in the Bible. Well, you know, the seven churches in Revelation and this, they were all independent churches. I said, no. They were independent in a certain sense, like our diocese.
Well, locationally.
Yes. Like our diocese are independent from one another. Our parishes are independent from one another. But they all have one authority that they answer to. And in the early church, it was Peter. And so I tell him, I said, so, you know, and then that's when I bring up the Church of the Highlands. I said, let's use a present day example, the Church of the Highlands. I said, you know, there's a Church of the Highlands down where I am in McCalla. Well, the main campus is here in Irondale. There's a Church of the Highlands up in Huntsville. I think there's one in Atlanta, South Carolina. And so I said, are those all independent churches? And they'll go, well, I said, no. They answer to one authority. I said, and that makes sense. I said, that is the fastest growing evangelical church in the country. And it's now the largest evangelical church in the country. Why? Because they have a solid structure of authority that everybody knows what it is and everybody knows who is in charge. Now, that pastor is the head of the church, but he would tell you that he is, you know, acting in Jesus' stead, in essence. I don't know if he'd even go that far, but that Jesus is the head of the church and he's just the earthly head of the Church of the Highlands. And that's exactly what we say essentially about the Pope.
Yeah, that sounds very Catholic.
Yes, it's a very Catholic structure that they have. And that's why it's allowed to grow so fast. Because if you just had, well, these people over here, you know, break off and they have the truly independent church, well, maybe some doctrine starts creeping in that somebody reads something in the Bible or they hear something or they bring in some, you know, in the early church, some Greek philosophy or something or some Gnosticism or something. Well, now they're not one as the Father and the Son are one. And so it's again, to me, it's kind of ironic that one of the best examples for arguing that the Catholic Church is the one and only church and that we can see it in Scripture is the largest evangelical church in the country right now, the Church of the Highlands, in their structure, in their structure of authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, and likewise, too, within that structure, they have other pastors that are pastors over certain aspects of it, you know.
Correct.
I don't know exactly how their satellite operations work, if there's a pastor that's in charge of that, reporting back to the pastor who is the overall pastor. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I really never thought about it like that, but it is an exact parallel.
Yes.
You know, it is an exact parallel. Now, if only it was the fullness of truth, then we would be in good shape.
Yes.
Well, and it would be Catholic.
And I tell people, I say, look, and I use the Mormons as an example of this, Church of the Highlands as an example of this, but I tell people, I would say, you know, if the Catholic Church would get back to job one, evangelization, in and through all that it does. You know, there's so much focus put on finances and, the legalities. You know, if we do this, are we going to be sued? Which are not unimportant questions.
No, they are important questions. We have to function in this world.
Yes, but they're not the question.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something comes up within the church, whenever a proposal is made or a thought is put on the table, an idea is put on the table for some project or let's do this or let's think about doing this, the first question should be, will this bring people closer to Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is yes, then you say, well, let's have faith that God will provide for this,
yeah,
and let's go. And if somebody says, well, we could be sued for this or that, say, I don't recall Jesus ever saying, or Peter or Paul ever saying, whoa, whoa, hang on, guys, we might be sued for that, or
yeah,
we might get in trouble for that. No, they knew this is what brings people to Jesus Christ. This is what needs to be done, come hell or high water.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because the fact of the matter is, you know, as you say, all of those things have to be attended to. But the fundamental vocation of every baptized Christian is evangelization.
Yes.
To continue to evangelize ourselves by using the means available, right? The use of the sacraments, the striving to know what the church teaches on the issues that face us today, you know, observing all of that, but taking the good news out to others. And, you know, on the question of money, we one of the activities that we had this past week is that we were able to work with Angel Studio so that we could present Cabrini to the women. A lot of the women hadn't seen it yet. It was my third time viewing it. And it was interesting for me to view that in light of what we were learning. I saw it completely differently. But one of the things that struck me all three times I saw it was that Mother Cabrini said, when the question was asked of her, do you have the money to fund this? You know, and Mother Cabrini said, you know, this is not an exact quote from the movie, but she said, we move forward, God will provide.
Yes.
And that's the faith. And if you think about it, I mean, that is exactly how EWTN was founded.
Oh,
Mother,
yeah,
Angelica moved forward. I don't know of, I suppose that there are some ministries out there, apostolates, that start off with a business plan and are well-heeled from the beginning. That's not my experience. My experience is that the Lord keeps us on our knees, begging for the funds, which always come through and have for 20 years. And that's Mother's model. And that's the model of a lot of the saints. So it is true. If the Holy Spirit is calling something into existence, He wants a program in a church, or He will provide the funding. But He does want for us to exercise faith. That's all we need,
yes,
is the faith, once we've discerned and know. So, it's a very important matter. This question of unity is something that, you know, ultimately at some point in time, John, I think that we're going to see a unified whole before Jesus comes back, because he's coming back for his bride and he wants his bride to be all together. He doesn't want her to be disassembled or fractured in some way, right? And I was sharing with you prior that I'm interviewing Father John. I think it's Weiss or Wace, W-A-I-S-S.
I think it's Wace.
You think it's Wace? He's written a book called Bible Mary, The Mother of Jesus and the Word of God. And I'm finding it fascinating because what he's talking about in these beginning chapters is that there's a lot of scholarship going on in Protestantism today regarding the Blessed Mother. And there is quite a bit that's being discussed about her and looking at her now with a receptivity of heart, right? And so I was thinking about this morning. I really do believe that we're living in the age of Mary, right? And I really do believe that what, you know, our mother's, her whole reason for existence is to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. I think that she's actively, helping those who are not like-minded in certain areas, like with regard to her, with regard to the Eucharist, and ironically, in light of our discussion, with regard to the Pope, because authority is always one of the big, it should be easy to evangelize everybody at Church of the Highlands, at least on that point, right?
Well, that's it.
So I don't know, John, maybe we should get about that. But all that being said, I think that we're seeing movement towards this unity as we, that eschatology, eschatological moment draws ever nearer, in human existence. So
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, there's been in the last 20, 25 years since I've been involved in apologetics and evangelization, mm-hmm. I've seen various things within Protestantism that I'm just sitting there going, come on, come on.
Right.
There was for a while, I think it was over a couple year period, there was sweeping through Protestantism. They were having confession Saturdays where all the people at like a university or something would gather in the gym and they would literally have public confessions, you know, because they realized, well, you've got to confess your sins. And I'm like, come on, come on, you're getting there. Come on, let's a little closer, a little closer. And you know, it was a public confession of sin and accountability and so forth, so on. Now they didn't have anybody absolving them of their sins, but it's a step in the right direction. And so, and like you said, this newfound interest or scholarship within Protestantism on Mary. You know, I remember, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but the way I got started in apologetics was doing a Catholic apologetics program on the largest evangelical radio station in Alabama. And the very first, but within about 4 or 5 weeks, it was a Sunday night show I did, and there was a woman doing a show before me, and she was walking out as we were walking in, and she realized apparently one day that we were Catholic, and as she's walking out, we're passing like two ships in the night, she says, "You Catholics and your beliefs about Mary, don't you know she was just an incubator for Jesus?" And I was like, I was dumbfounded.
I know. Well, you know, think about that in reference to each of ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that how God looks at the human person?
Yeah.
With some utilitarian use. What can I get them to do today?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, I don't know. And of course, in reference to Our Lady, it just sets my blood boiling, really. But friends, I want you to give us a call. Interesting discussion today with John Martinoni, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Keep Matthew Gubensky busy. We want that man busy. Come right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams here today with John Martinoni. It's the last Tuesday of the month. John is with us every last Tuesday of the month. We certainly do invite you to give us a call here. Your questions and comments, absolutely welcomed. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone and give us a call. If you would prefer to leave us a comment, you can do that. And you can do that at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Michael McCall will retrieve it. He'll get it up here on the board for us. We'll be able to address it. And, you know, if you call in, Matthew Gubensky is going to help you out. He'll get you up on the board. We'll take your question. Do want to remind you that Wednesday night at 8 p.m., on EWTN TV and radio is Father Mitch Pacwa. We're looking forward to having you join us for that. You know, Father Mitch certainly is a treasure trove of information. He's a brilliant man. Certainly does help for us to know what the church teaches and why. You always grow when Father Mitch is around. And so I encourage you to listen to him, EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN TV and radio. Before we get to the phone lines, and thank you, you're calling. Yay, you make me so glad. Continue to call 833-288-EWTN. I just wanted to give you a little flavor for what's in this book, John. And so this is a David. This is a Daniel Migliori, and he is a Protestant, scholar, and he writes this. Acknowledges that Protestants miss the point on Our Lady. And this is what he writes. The story of the Annunciation is told not in praise of Mary, but in praise of the surprising, unmerited, electing grace of God. Mary is favored and chosen by God. It is curious that Reformed theologians have not given more attention to the place of Mary in the doctrine of election. Her election, of course, is not to be seen as competing with the election of Jesus Christ, but as a daughter of the elect people of Israel. Mary is herself elected and called to a special vocation. This is the meaning of the announcement of the angel that Mary has found favor with God and that she will give birth to the Son of the Most High. So you can see that there's a looking back and appraisal of, well, wait a second, you know, is this it? I'm especially fond of what Shannon Kubiak is working on. She too, Protestant, theological scholar. She says, Mary lived a full life by accepting what it meant to be favored and blessed, and by rising to the task of a lifetime, one that wasn't always easy, but certainly proved to be worth it in the end. She signed up for a lifelong adventure when she was just a girl. Are you willing to do the same? A little earlier on, Shannon, you know, equates, she's a mom, and a relatively young mom when she's writing this. And she says, I can't imagine, I what it must have been like for Mary to watch her son suffer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can't imagine, you know. And so there's this, you know, beautiful feminine gift of empathy for the other, which right away begins to open a heart to consider more. And that's what she does. Those are her contributions. But there's many of them in here, and it's a lovely thing to begin to see. You know, coming at it somewhat differently than we Catholics would come at things, but nonetheless, you know, an opening up of scholarship in this area. And it's not a small number. He cites several different people in here. So I recommend the book. It's called Bible, Mary, the Mother of Jesus, and the Word of God. It's an interesting read, and especially for you, John. I really want you to have. I'd give you my copy, but I have to interview him on Thursday.
Well, I appreciate that. I really like about that, they talk about, you know, Mary being highly favored. They don't use the word grace necessarily. You know,
right.
Hail full of grace. They
right.
say hail full of favor.
Yes.
Yeah, as a kind of a counter reaction to Catholics. But Mary found favor. Yeah. I mean, you think about it, she's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
There is no one else in all of history, ever has been, ever will be, who will have that same relationship with the Trinity.
Yeah.
So why Protestant theologians don't pay more attention to that, to her unique circumstances? And then again, you know, Eve is the woman through whom sin entered the world. Mary is the woman through whom salvation entered the world.
Well, it's that parallelism,
yes.
Right? The whole way through.
Yeah.
Which is also a fascinating study.
And that's the word fascinating. It's like, why don't Protestants find this fascinating and spend more time? But obviously, some of them are starting to.
Well, they are. And one of them laments and even says, you know, this is not an exact quote, but this is what he's saying. Is it because we've just believed what we've been told instead of going further?
Yeah.
In other words, you know, so the reaction against Catholicism has led to, you know, a bias against.
Correct.
A further study and exploration. But some are breaking through there. You want to go to the phone lines? They're all lighting up. You're doing such a good job today.
I
want to really affirm all of you out there today.
Yeah, let's get there.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Cindy is a first-time caller from Columbus, Ohio, eager to talk with her. Cindy, I am not near my bell or I would ring it for you. Listening to us via St. Gabriel Radio. Good morning, Cindy. How are you? Oh, there's the bell for you. Rich Jesse did it for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so honored to be able to call into your program. We listen every day.
Oh,
or
thanks.
I would say most every day. I guess this could segue into a conversation about your conversation about Mary, because my understanding that most of the evil in the world is the fallen Lucifer is because Satan didn't want Mary, if I'm not mistaken. But my call is really about the 3 days of darkness. I've been reading about that, but I'm reading conflicting things, and I was just hoping you could tell us a little bit more about where the Catholic Church stands on that.
Okay, very good. John?
Well, as I understand things, the 3 days of darkness is no official church teaching, because this has entered the Catholic lexicon through private revelation. and apparently, and I've never done a deep dive into this. I was in a prayer group years ago that a lot of people were into this, but it just never really caught my attention. You know, again, I thought, well, this is kind of interesting, but the way I look at the 3 days of darkness, and it's talking about, well, the sun is going to go dark and 3 days of darkness, and don't answer any knocks at your door or anything like that, and keep all your windows closed and shaded, and make sure you have certain types of candle, beeswax candles, I think it is. And
yes.
And if it makes you feel better to get beeswax candles and have a supply in your house and have 3 days worth of maybe frosted flakes or something that you can munch on during those 3 days, you can't go to the grocery store or something, fine. But what I always tell people, I say, look, you need to be prepared today to meet the Lord. Don't be worrying about the 3 days of darkness that, you know, might not come, might come, might not come. And if it does come, it might not be in your lifetime. Be prepared today, because you could step off a curb in downtown Birmingham or New York City or L.A. or whatever and get hit by a car, and it's your day of judgment. It's your personal day of judgment. So we need to be ready every day, day in and day out, to meet the Lord. We need to live as if this is our last day, and we need to make sure we have no mortal sin and we're striving to be holy. You know, as Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That's what we need to be doing. So in regards to the 3 days of darkness, again, no official church teaching that I'm aware of, because all the things that we have about this have come through private revelation.
Yeah. And so, you know, I the church has not, as you say, the church has not said anything specifically about it, Cindy. I do think that it would be good for you to just go out to the internet. And National Catholic Register has an article, Are We Approaching the End Times? It's actually a new EWTN series that they're referencing there. It might not be new, right now, but it was new at one point in time. In addition to that, Catholic Answers it talks about this as well. So because it is private revelation, and because, you know, it's really an interpretation,
right,
of some statements that are made in the Bible. But we know that the Bible speaks to us on several different levels. There's different senses of Bible through which we read it. There's the literal, the allegorical, you know, those are two of them. The thing that most concerns me about it, Cindy, is that people get all concerned. It's anxiety,
right,
producing, and
right,
they get fearful. And, you know, just in the Office of Readings, morning prayer, I'm not sure which, it talks about, you know, do not be afraid, do not be troubled, do not be afraid, right? And I think that that's the important thing. So when there's, you know, something out there that's causing a lot of fear, then I begin to get a little worried about how useful is this in the long run,
right?
You know, so I'm not suggesting that there won't be 3 days of darkness. What I'm saying is, in agreement with you, John, that this is not to consume us. So I worry about people worrying too much.
Well, that's, you know, I started off with an example of an evangelical church. There's, you know, how Protestant churches have the signs in front of them with these pithy little sayings. One that I've remembered for many, many years, there was a Baptist church. One time I saw the sign. It said, there are 2 days a Christian should never worry about, yesterday and tomorrow.
Oh, boy, that's really good.
And just God is in the eternal present.
That's exactly right.
So you live in the present and you live where God lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, and here's a couple of points, too, on this for you, Cindy, that Catholic Answers points out. Vatican website, search of the Vatican website shows nothing about the 3 days of darkness. Bible makes a couple of statements. Exodus 10:21-29 is often referred to by those that are proponents of this. Revelation 6:12 and 16:10 also talk about the sixth seal and the fifth vial. But this is interpretation once again. The Bible contains nothing specific about a prediction of the 3 days of darkness. So, again, because this is all so unclear, it's important for us. We don't know. Is it a literal darkness? Is it a darkness of the soul?
Yeah.
Is it an illumination of conscience? You know, that would be a kind of dark light of recognition of where we're outside of the will of the Father. So don't worry about it. That's my advice. Fill yourself up with the light, and we don't need to worry about the darkness on any level. What do you think, Cindy?
No, I really appreciate that, because I'm trying very hard to do exactly that, and to do what Mother Angelica did so well, and that is to just really lean and trust in God.
That's right.
So I really appreciate your guidance on this. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. I appreciate your call, because this is something that continues to come up. I remember it was really bad, really, really big in the 80s with
and
Medjugorje.
90s.
Yeah. And so all that being said, you know, we are absolutely not called to believe in private revelation. Public revelation, yes. Although, as Benedict XVI said, it's prudent to adhere to what the Church has determined through those apparitions that she has approved. It's prudent on our part. Let's go on to Maria, first-time caller, again in New Orleans, Louisiana. Lots of first-timers listening to us on Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Thank you for having my call.
You're
it's
welcome.
Based upon me always being, I feel like, God's biggest cheerleader, and Jesus and Mary and the saints and all that good stuff, being born in New Orleans, second-generation Sicilian Catholic. But my problem sometimes is I find myself interacting at the grocery store, wherever I may be, with other Christian brothers and sisters, and it's beautiful conversation. But I realize I have to slowly, I don't say anything about Mary quickly, I don't say anything about saints quickly, but I just say something about Jesus or God, and then I'll hear somebody say, speak, sister, speak, preach, preach. And I realize, and it hurts my heart only for God, that just the same way the Jews rejected Christ, is I feel like the same way my Christian and brothers, sisters are rejecting Mary. And I'm wondering if there's a way, other than me calling up, you know, other Christian churches saying, can I come talk at your church for a minute? Because I realize there's a lot of relatable topics, whether it be, wisdom for my own life, things that I've gone through and so forth, that are so relatable, and people listen. How, as Christian brothers and sisters, how can we relate more and have more debates and talks with them? Because I feel like they're so close. They're so close, like you mentioned earlier. And I think there's more that we can do, but I don't know what it is. I feel stuck, other than praying. I used to have the fear, like, oh, the time, people don't understand the time. And I would get stressed about that, but I don't do that anymore. Every time I do that, I grab a rosary. I do one decade, two decades, three decades, the seven sorrows, and a peace comes upon me. But I do feel like I'm walking in slow motion around everybody thinking, I wish they were here.
Okay.
I wish they were right here.
Here's a few suggestions for you. Number one is, in a grocery store or something, this may be the one and only time you see this person ever. So go for it. You know, if that's going to be your one shot. Now, somebody who's in your family or friend who you know you're going to see them again, well, you can, yeah, ease into things. But in a grocery store, go for it. And what I tell people, though, is so that you're not coming across as being too offensive, even though you want to be offensive, is you ask questions. And, John, do you know a book anybody's written it where they ask questions? I'm going to do a little self-promotion
and you
here.
You should.
I've got a couple of books out. Get the first one. It's called Blue Collar Apologetics, okay? And in there, I show you how to handle conversations and get into conversations, or if you get into them, certain things you could ask, some questions you could ask, and you just leave somebody with a question. Leave them with a thought, and then you go and do what you do. You say all those prayers. You pray the rosary, and because you and I don't convert anybody, Maria. It's the Holy Spirit. You know that. So your job is to plant seeds. So
that's
just
right.
Look at it as, I'm here to plant seeds. God has opened a door for me with this woman in the grocery store, the shoe store, wherever you might be. I'm going to plant a seed. Well, you need to learn the questions to ask. And like you said, don't be afraid to say, hey, I'd love to come and talk to your church about this. You got a Bible study, a women's Bible study or something. If you think this is interesting, let's talk more about it. Give me your phone number. Give me your email and just go for it. Don't hold back. But there are ways you can do it that keep people's defensive walls down as much as possible rather than having them just pop right up and say, oh, no, I'm not going to. And it's by asking questions. So learn how to ask questions, and my book teaches you how to do that.
Yeah. You know, that's the Socratic method. It's the Socratic pedagogy. The way to teach people is by asking those questions. If they start to do a study, you know, and by that I mean if you ask a question and they don't have the answer, you can whet their appetite on an intellectual level as well as a faith level, and they might want to dig more. As a matter of fact, one of the women that was with us this past weekend shared that she was Protestant, and she married a Catholic man, and she went to RCIA to try to prove how wrong the church was, yeah. Right? And what happened? Well, she's Catholic. So, you know, the fact of the matter is if you ask the right questions, generally speaking, you can arrive at a very, very good response. The other thing is, too, John, you know, when you're talking about the sidelining of Mary, you know, Jesus never sidelined his mother.
No.
You know, he never sidelined her. He listened to his mother, as a matter of fact. You know, marriage feast at Cana shows that. And I remember one time I met this Protestant guy. I was in insurance school. He was virulently fundamentalist. When he found out I was a Catholic, he was just white on rice all over me. And he just was repudiating our Blessed Mother. I mean, he had absolute disgust in his voice and appearance in reference to her. And it was so painful. He said, Jesus rebuked his mother. I said, well, where was this? Now, I was just back in the church myself at this time, so I really didn't have any depth of knowledge in an apologetics way. He said, well, she was in the crowd. And he said, you know, the woman said, you know, blessed are the breasts that fed you, right? The paps that nursed you. And Jesus said to her, you know, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And I didn't really have a response for him, which was unfortunate. But of course, yeah, Jesus was saying it wasn't that. It was he was raising her up.
Exactly.
the model.
Who did it better than Mary did?
She heard the word of God and kept it, you know. But this is the kind of thing that we learn through time.
Yeah.
So, Maria, you keep going, honey. I think you gave her good advice. Keep being that seed planter. You know, it says, you know, in Scripture, Paul says, you know, somebody plants, somebody waters, and somebody reaps. Sometimes we get to reap. Most of the time we're doing the planting, though.
Right.
We're doing that, you know, that hard work.
Right. And take the pressure off your shoulders that you have to convert somebody. No, you don't. You just need to throw those seeds out there and hope they land on good soil.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Well, we're going to go to Diane next. Diane is in Wilmington, Massachusetts today, and she is listening to us via Station of the Cross. Thank you so much, Diane.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
John, how are you?
Doing well, Diane. Thank you.
So I just want to let you know, Jeanette, I finished your foundational study with Lynn O'Connor. I loved it.
Woo-hoo!
We're having our graduation tomorrow.
Oh, John, congratulations.
John, I just ordered your book.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just ordered your book, and I couldn't agree more with what you're talking about today. I actually run a Lady Sodality at my church, and I feel the way to Jesus right now is through his mother, Mary. I think in the Catholic Church, a lot of people were turned away, unfortunately, with the priest scandal, and they felt offended, and they felt misled, and a lot of trust was lost. But I feel like Mary's a way to wound them back. Sometimes when you do the wrong thing, you go to your mother before your father. And I do think that the unity, unifying everybody who's speaking Jesus' name, is a way to go, because there's strength in numbers. And sadly, in the world today, his name is not out there enough. And
no,
anybody who's speaking it, I just went to a concert last week where young families, young children, and I felt so hopeful that at least we're all saying the same name. and we take it from there. And I feel like as a Catholic, we have very high standards, and we have to be patient with those. I'm one of them. I've actually worked in religious education. I ran to youth groups.
Diane, sweetie pie, we're going to have to leave it there. Because you hear that music, we're really right down to the nub. But everything that you're saying, I think John would agree
with. Spot on.
Spot on, Diane. And congratulations to you and all of your sacred sisters in your study group. Amen. Tell them I wish them the very best and my congratulations. Friends, we're going to be back with you again tomorrow. John's going to be back with you next month. We'll be talking about another topic. So Lou and John, call back then or call back tomorrow and I'll talk with you. It's been great being with you today, John. Thanks as always.
Same here, John.
God bless. Bye, all.